Good morning and welcome to the table. We're so grateful to be together with all of you all this morning. I'm going to close that. The light kind of messes with the camera, and we're online. And we welcome everyone online wherever you are. We're going to open this morning with a very fabulous, it's called Gospel Medley. And it was arranged by Liz Wright, who's an amazing singer, if you ever get a chance to see her. We highly recommend. She's in small jazz clubs, Yoshi's down in Berkeley every once in a while, Oakland. But I just want to say this song goes on always. And so don't worry about it. It's an opportunity to get in the groove, to lose your sense of time almost, you know, and hear the words and sway with the music. So I invite you to stand as you are willing and able.
Everything's gonna be all right. above my head. I hear music in the air.
I'm going to invite Derek to come forward. I'm not positive where Derek might be holding a baby somewhere. We are not going to invite Derek to come forward. All right. I think Bob is going to come forward with Becca. And there is Derek. He wanted to have a grand entrance. This is as grand as it gets, Derek. Welcome. All right.
Sorry. When your 2-year-old, or your 18-month-old, rather, doesn't want to let go of your finger, the fireside chat kind of feels pointless. Well, listen, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you all today. I am Derek Kirk, and apologies for my grand entrance here. Over the last, do we need to dismiss anyone? Should we do that? Our kids don't need to sit here and listen to me. So if you are a little one and would like to go participate in godly play, we encourage you to find your way to the back, and you'll be guided through with this fabulous walking music. We'll remind our parents that our children do take an offering in support of Mustard Seed School. Lots of littles today. Okay, well, let me help introduce the folks that are sitting here on stage with me. So, as I mentioned, I'm Derek Kirk. I have the privilege of serving as the lay leader here at the table and as a member of the administrative board. Bob?
I'm Bob Lasberg-Zahl. I'm a member of the administrative board with responsibilities for human resources and community staff relations.
And I'm Becca Kramer-Mauder. I am a member here and also, along with Sarnit and Jean, represent the church at our annual conference. And I'm also part of our delegation for our annual conference to general conference, although I'm not able to be there in person right now.
Thanks, Bob and Becca. So over the last, this is our fourth week having these fireside chats and our last week. So if you have loved them, thanks for being on this journey with us. And if you have not loved them so much, this is the end. And we will return to our regularly scheduled program and agenda with QR codes that keep you flowing through your normal Sunday morning experience. Over the last 4 weeks, we have journeyed together. We started off with the budget, just really trying to understand a little bit about the reality that this is like a small business running an operation like this, paying people, keeping the lights on, freezing ourselves on Sunday mornings during the summertime, and really trying to like manage a budget and expenses. We then learned more about the building and the fact that my words, buildings can be burdens and can be huge opportunities at the same time. And this building has a lot that needs to be done, and there is a lot that has been done in all of these spaces, excuse me, in all of the spaces here on the H Street campus. Last week, we learned a little bit about Table Farm and Table Bread and the experience of our fellows and our apprentices out on the farm, and what it has meant for us to be in ministry with the community in Hollywood Park, and what it will mean for us in the next location as we move the farm. This week we're gonna focus a little bit on two things, but we'll weave them together because I think they're deeply connected. We're gonna talk about personnel because who doesn't love to talk about personnel and human resources? God bless Bob and his willingness to continue to serve on the admin board in this way. We're also going to talk about general conference, which I don't think Debbie's here, but like we started with budgets and your team up front, right? Now we're ending with personnel and general conference, two of the best topics of conversation that we really could be journeying on together. But we'll get some questions answered and really just learn together how we're imagining these things moving forward. So Bob, I want to start with you. Lots of people help make our community go each week, whether you're greeted by Sarnit as you walk in or you're greeted by music that echoes its way through to the parking lot and keeps your feet dancing or our kids' feet dancing. There are a lot of people that help make this community go. Can you help us understand the journey that the admin board has been on in the last few years as we imagine really caring for these people?
Absolutely, Derek. Thank you. I just want to give a quick shout out and finish naming the folks who are on our staff, and then I'll jump to that. Of course, our two dynamic, amazing leaders, Pastor Matt and Pastor Linda, Brendan, and our music team. Truly, some of the best musical talent in our region. Thank you. Andy, our dedicated and amazing program and ag operations leader at Table Farm. Corey, back in the AV booth on worship visuals. Askin, our bookkeeper, and Gail, our custodian. You may not see those folks often, but they are at work week in and week out behind the scenes, keeping our financial accounts straight and our facilities in working order. And finally, Sierra and our nursery team, keeping things fun and safe for our youngest friends. So I want to celebrate this morning, to Derek's point, that we've been on a journey over, I would say, the past 5 years. Your amazing generosity as a community has grown us into a budget that supports all of these folks that I just named with wages that are truly commensurate with their skills and abilities and comparable to the wages that folks in similar positions round about us in the community are compensated. The fact that we've, as a community, have stepped up to pay these folks equitable wages is a sustainability milestone, I feel, for our efforts to root in grace, grow in faith, and reach in love. I think it should give us a lot of confidence to dream big together about our future as a community. So hats off to y'all.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. Thank you. Just to echo kind of Bob's sentiments, many of us have seen other churches around us and in other parts of the denomination that aren't able to pay their pastors completely, or that when they are paying their pastors for a full-time wage, it's certainly not the wages that those pastors should be receiving. It's not an equitable wage. And layering on that, all of the other people that it takes to make our community go and respecting the time and the commitment that they have, pay equity has been, I would argue, probably the number one priority over the board in the last few years. And it is number one for a reason, right? I mean, that level of commitment to ensuring that we are able to do that, not just for one pastor and team, but for two pastors and team, has been really fabulous. Bob has gone, just to embarrass him a little bit, but Bob has been the representative on the admin board covering this area. He did a 3-year term and then committed somehow to doing another 3-year term on the admin board in this role. His level of commitment to our staff and to all of you has been incredible. So, Bob, thank you. So, Becca, we know, I mean, I made mention to the fact that there are churches all around us that aren't able to pay the bills and that are experiencing life in a little bit of a different way than we are. Right now, as you mentioned, the United Methodist Church General Conference is happening in North Carolina with representatives and our friends and family from around the globe. Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on there?
Yeah. So first, as you mentioned, it's the global gathering of the United Methodist Church, and this is where the church does things like make the budget for our boards and agencies, for United Methodist Committee on Relief and such, as well as sets the policies of the church. It's kind of like Congress is for the United States, except more functional. And it has been incredibly disappointing over the years. So General Conference is, in normal times, every 4 years. I would say that the specially called General Conference in 2019, which was the last General Conference, felt a lot like Good Friday. Very, very disappointing, very scary, very upsetting. This year's General Conference, which started last week and will continue into this next week, is feeling like we're starting to live into Easter. It is having really exciting, really good news coming out of it. So going into it, I think three of the things that folks in this congregation might be most, or two of the things that folks in this congregation might be most excited about were priorities that the centrists and the progressives had agreed upon as two of their top three priorities for General Conference. And those were removing from the Book of Discipline, which is our law book for the church, all of the anti-LGBTQ language. And just like, you know, Congress has policy committees that hear things before they go to the floor of Congress, same with General Conference. And that legislation has moved out of the committees and is on the floor of General Conference for consideration. And the votes coming out of committees were very exciting. So that's promising. And the other piece was regionalization. So a lot of our church, the way that the global church is structured, is still has vestiges of racist and colonialist history of the church. And so there's been a movement to regionalize the church, to change the structures to get rid of that. And in addition to getting rid of some of the racist colonialist ways that the church is organized, it would also mean that for the first time, the United States as a region would be able to customize parts of the Book of Discipline to fit our context. United Methodist Churches, areas outside of the U.S. can already do that, but we would be able to do that, which would also be a way to remove any anti-LGBTQ language from the discipline, that if it still remains after this general conference, or even to put in proactive affirming language. And that, the regionalization would require a change to the United Methodist Church's constitution. And just like a constitutional change politically, where it has to go through Congress and be ratified by the states, in the Methodist Church, a constitutional change has to get approved by General Conference with 2/3 of the vote. And these regionalization petitions got more than 2/3 of the vote. So they have passed General Conference, and now they go on to annual conferences and need to get 2/3 of the vote to pass there as well in order to enact these changes. But these are very exciting. I've been hearing talk about the need to regionalize the church for well over 20 years. This is the first time it's happened. It's a global movement to make it happen. So there's lots of very exciting things coming out of General Conference, which I can't believe I'm saying, but it's true. And so there's lots of reason for hope.
Thanks, Becca. You know, I just want to take you all back a little bit to almost 2 years ago when many of us joined each other, either out at the farm or online for what we called salon gatherings, to ideate together, quite frankly, the conversation of whether or not we should even still be a part of the global United Methodist Church. And that was a hard conversation for many of you, for many of us that have either a day or a lifetime as part of this community. And I would say so many of you, so much of the feedback that we gathered in that conversation was that we weren't ready to leave the United Methodist Church, but that we wanted to lean in, and we wanted to be more involved, and we wanted to ideate together and champion together things like Becca just said, imagining how we become a more inclusive space. And for us, that has really been twofold. And to tie these two conversations together, we are not able to effectively go out and participate in really big, globally changing conversations without having a really strong foundation here at home, and without caring for the people that are a part of our community and that are leading our community, caring for the people like Matt and Linda and others that are having to deal with this system, with the constitutional changes and the legislative changes and bishops and all kinds of things far above us. Setting that foundation and allowing us to ensure that they are taken care of both here and at home allows us to think bigger about these really cool conversations and to lean in and to imagine ways of how the table can really be a leader, not just here in the California-Nevada Conference, not just in the greater Western jurisdiction, but really as a church around the world. So a lot of really, really exciting opportunities for us. I want to ask just kind of one more question of the both of you. And Bob, we'll start with you. What is one thing you want our community to understand about the future of our church and why we need to continue to stay engaged and in it together?
Thanks, Derek. There's certainly work to be done in the area of personnel. Let me just highlight one thing. The administrative board has been wondering recently about a way to remove some everyday administrative tasks from our pastors' portfolios, so that they can spend more of their time leading us forward in mission. For just one example, we think that we want them to spend less time with the nuts and bolts of configuring our technology systems and more time with their dream, pursuing their dream of reimagining and rewriting the Growing in Faith curriculum for a post-pandemic audience as we move into the second quarter of the 21st century. So we found room in this year's budget to hire a person on a very part-time basis to help us experiment with the idea of maybe looking to establish an administrative operations lead for the church. Turns out that Ariel Deem, in addition to being a fantastic musician, is an educator with deep experience in sort of wisely pairing technology with creative people and coordinating various aspects of nonprofit operations. So she's working with us over the next several months for a few hours a week on some administrative support tasks. And as she and our pastors work together, we're hoping that we'll learn more about what an operations lead position might look like for this multifaceted nonprofit organization that we are. And we'll be back to you all later this year to wonder together as a community about what the next steps might look like.
And I would say that for thinking about why it's important for us to stay in it together, it's because when we stay in it together, we can do these amazing things that fill us with hope and joy. The reason that General Conference this year is going so differently than it has in the past is because the progressive and centrist congregations, for the most part, said, we're going to stay in this together, and did not leave the United Methodist Church. And the conservative congregations did end up leaving, freeing up the votes so that these changes that have been needed for a long time could happen. And so when we stay in it together, we can make these global changes that are incredibly powerful and that provide hope and opportunity for future generations.
I don't think I could end in a more really fabulous way of just encouraging all of us to continue to just be in it. And there are going to be days when it feels like Good Friday, and there are going to be days when it feels like Easter, and there are going to be days when it feels like everywhere in between. But it is so critical that we imagine and continue to figure out how to do life together in a consistent and compassionate and kind and engaged way. So our commitment from the administrative board is to continue to keep you in it with us. We won't be doing a fireside chat every Sunday, but we will be coming back on a more regular basis, imagining how we can communicate with you all about the exciting updates that are happening in the global church, about the exciting updates that are happening right here in our church and in this space. So will you join me in thanking not only Bob and Becca, but all of the individuals over the last couple of weeks that have stepped out of their comfort zone, many, joined us on the couch to share an update with all of you.
And as they move down, our musicians will move back up, and we're going to move in song. I'll invite us to stay seated as we are, and we're going to move into worship together with a song that comes to us from a beautiful group called Good Shepherd Collective, and this is called Side by Side.
Troubled and weary, tired and hurt, hung out on the branches, pushed out in the dirt. You don't have to go it alone. I'll walk with you if you walk in different streets, but I wonder if our paths will be side by side. walk our separate ways.
My name is Bob Martinez, and welcome to the table, whether you're here in person, gosh, I wish you could all be here in person, or online, because we're all in this together here at the table, side by side. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. Our reading this morning continues to come to us from Acts, the fourth chapter, and I'll be sharing from the First Nations version an indigenous translation of the New Testament, and of course, we invite you to follow along. Now, with one heart and mind, all who trusted in Creator Sets Free, Jesus, shared their possessions with each other. No one claimed their belongings to be only for themselves. With great power, the message bearers told the story of how their honored chief, Creator Sets Free, had defeated death and returned to life. Creator's gift of great kindness was covering all of them like a warm blanket, and no one among them was in need. Those who owned houses or land sold them and brought what they had gained and gave it to the message bearers to share with everyone.
In a poem, it's called Manifesto, the Mad Farmer Liberation Front. Maybe you've heard of it. It's written by Wendell Berry. In his poem, he warns everyone against the love of the quick profit, the annual raise, vacation with pay, and a life which make one afraid to know your neighbors and afraid to die. Instead, the mad farmer preaches, every day do something that won't compute. Love the Lord, love the world, and finally practice resurrection. There's a time after the death of Jesus when the disciples, they lock themselves in an upper room out of fear of those all around them. And here's how it's recorded in the Gospel of John. It was late in the same day, the first day of the week. His followers were all hiding behind locked doors in fear of being captured by the tribal leaders. And suddenly, Creator Sets Free, Jesus himself was standing in front of them and said, "Peace be with you." And he then showed them where the iron nails had pierced his hands and where the spear had cut into his side. And when they saw their wisdom keeper, the hearts of his followers were filled with joy. So he said to them again, Peace be with you. In the same way the Great Spirit above has sent me, I am sending you. I am now sending you. Locked in the room, they needed help practicing resurrection. Right then, Jesus passes through the locked doors and passes his peace to them. The peace Jesus offers is no anesthetic for the soul. It's no We the Urban social media inspirational post about how tomorrow it will all be better. No, it's the beginning of a new world. The long-awaited world of God's shalom, and it comes with freedom from fear and sin and death. Jesus opens the door that the disciples had locked, and like the mad farmer, shows the way to a resurrection reality. In Acts, the book of Acts, we witness what happened after the disciples find their brave and walk themselves through those doors and out into the neighborhood. They were of one heart and soul in their life together. No one claimed private ownership, and everything was held in common. They shared with everyone. I opened our current worship series, it was 3 weeks ago now, with a video showing thousands of starling birds maneuvering in the air. We learned that the starlings have no designated leader, but instead any single bird can initiate a change of direction, and a consensus among thousands emerges in a split second as each starling pays really close attention to the six or seven surrounding birds. Instead of flying in beautiful mutuality like the starlings, though, the next week, Pastor Matt confessed the ways he tends to spiral into self-judgment and judgment of others, often causing him to crash to the ground or even up against his neighbor starlings or co-pastors. I know. I have my moments too. Then he suggested that we avoid the tendency to make ourselves into judges, instead practice our faith by being truly present. Try that out to the six or sevens in our midst, allowing the Spirit to work on those places where we default to believe empire's lie of individualism. And instead of doing that, allow the mystery of God to raise us up through the intimacy we experience in community. And then, with the help of Professor John Liu, we held the place of judgment in our own lives. If we ultimately want to take a stand, doesn't that compel some sort of judgment somewhere along the way? And that's when we learned that Barnabas was one who sold land and joined the early Acts community to act in ways that disrupt what Reverend Dr. Willie James Jennings calls the status quo of grotesquely differential wealth and poverty, uneven access to the necessary resources for life and health, and forms of sublimely stubborn oppression masked inside social conventions. Barnabas is certainly practicing resurrection by sharing with everybody. What compelled him to do that? What compels any of us to practice resurrection? So this week I want to close our series and actually revisit our beautiful starlings, for I've learned a little bit more about murmurations since I preached about them. Lots of you have sent me very helpful articles, and I learned about what triggers those murmurations. First, and always also, because we have people who haven't been here before, we're going to take a few minutes and watch the original National Geographic video of what happens that is referred to as a murmuration. Corey. we just saw of starlings is used as a survival tactic because starlings are very, very small. They use this tactic against predators who want to devour them. I thought they were just doing pretty dances. Not at all. This is what they do in order to survive. So I asked Corey to help with another video. It's a little bit hard to see because it is. It's just hard to see. But there will be for you, to help you, an arrow that points to the predator. All right? And we'll see, we'll understand more clearly how murmurations are actually a survival dance. And they move really quickly. And those on the outside suddenly are on the inside. And those on the inside are suddenly on the outside and back and forth. And the predator hawk or the falcon actually ends up running the risk of self-destruction if it ever tries to penetrate the flock. It will collide with many other birds and wound itself. And eventually what you'll see on this very short video, it's only about 30 seconds, so he's gonna show it to us twice, is that the predator gives up. So let's watch this. It gives up and flies on. Pastor Kara Root writes this: being a disciple is not a set of beliefs or a system of religion. It's a state of being. As Rowan Williams says so beautifully in Being Disciples, it's a state of attentive expectancy, watching for God, listening for God, readiness to be called at any and every moment. The Hebrew scriptures have a word that I believe describes the reality of living life like a starling. It describes being in this together. This word is used 2,617 times in the Old Testament. It's hesed. It's been translated as mercy, but it's more than that. Another way it's been translated is loving kindness, but it's more intimate than kindness and more binding than love. Hesed has been translated as loyalty, which is getting a little bit closer because hesed has a through thick and thin quality of faithfulness and loyalty. But loyalty can be exclusive, and hesed is inclusive. It's been translated as friendship. Friendship not in a social media sense, but in a chosen family sense. And if you put it all together, you get something akin to belonging, which I think is the best descriptor of hesed and being in this together. Belonging. Dr. Root describes it as the inner logic of belonging, the substance of it, and it looks like compassion and mercy and loyalty and loving kindness and friendship. It looks like choosing over and over again to be with and for this other, no matter what, without end. In the book of Lamentations, we read, "The steadfast love, hesed, of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, hesed, never come to an end." Hesed says, I'll go there with you. Hesed is forgiving. It hopes, it prays, it sits on their bedside every day, even when the memory has faded and they no longer know who you are or that you are there. Hesed stands by you when everybody else has fallen away, even if you deserved for them to. It won't desert you. It drives across the country to settle you into your new home. Hesed is that sudden jolting realization that you will forever and always now belong to this one. You are now part of belongingness with them. To belong greatly extends our being. It stretches and lengthens us beyond ourselves, beyond the moment. You will be long. Long will you be for others. And that is just the human part, all of that. Hesed is bigger than it. It is the voice of God, spoke into nothing and made into life. Hesed is God's breath that animated the human spirit within God's own self, a new creature of belonging, a new community of life to whom to belong to. You know, there's great power in ritual. And ritual is actually how we practice resurrection, how we show up to God and to neighbor side by side. Some of us do this every week in our kitchen tables as we search scripture and check in about how is it with our soul. Some of us do this by making our deep commitment and tithing or giving generously each year and wondering how do we want to root our lives in grace, grow in faith, reach in love, and give generously. And we know it's not for everyone. We really know that. And some of us think there must be a quicker way, like a Bible study, a real Bible study, for example, where you will find the truth of God's love. There's this image I think people hold that searching scripture amounts to having knowledge, and you're like an empty vessel, and the knowledge gets poured into you, right? As though simply learning scholarly information about the Bible will be what one needs in order to be transformed by God's word. It isn't. It's only one teeny tiny part. Or some of us choose an amount to give generously that feels really right. And then we never revisit it. We never change or adjust it, even as our own circumstances evolve and change throughout our lives. But truly, the only way to be in this together is to be in this together. Maybe, as the mad farmer says, this truly does not compute. And we really do know it's not for everyone. Especially when there are predators right there next to us, ready and hungry for their next meal. Amen.
When Jesus gathered those first followers for what would become their last meal with him, as it's marked by the church, they were abundantly clear that predators were very real, right among them and in their midst. And Jesus was something like that mad farmer. He called them to do something that doesn't compute. And he said, we're going to share this ritual together, in this together, through the breaking of bread, a simple meal, a way to bind us to one another and to God. To most people, it doesn't compute. And yet, that is the heart of our way as followers of Jesus. It's how we find ourselves on the way. And we do that acknowledging that sometimes we become the predators unconsciously. They live inside of our bodies and souls, and they come out in ways that we don't anticipate. And so we follow the generations who've gone before us and acknowledge the ways we fall short of being the kind of starling community that God longs for us to become. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit, and we will share together with one voice this prayer of confession as we prepare our hearts and souls to come together once more to the table. Risen One, being your disciple is not a set of beliefs or a system of religion. It's a state of being. It's a state of attentive expectancy. Yet instead of watching and listening for you, we check our devices and mindlessly scroll. Forgive us, we pray. Instill in us a readiness to be called into loving our neighbor at any and every moment. Amen.
Friends, the risen one shows us a way out of no way. God looks upon all of us with eyes of love and compassion and sees us as beloved. May the power of resurrection embolden us to love our neighbors as we live out our call to be in this together. Amen?
Amen. And I invite us to join together in the church's practice for recognizing the presence of God in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
And we invite you to turn and share a symbol of peace with those near to you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
In the beginning, when all was chaos, water and earth had yet to take shape, and God the sculptor, the painter, the creator touched the swirling mass. God's hand separated earth from water and water from sky, and God touched the earth, and plants turned green, and fruit began to grow ripe. And to celebrate, God threw holy fireworks in the skies, placing stars in the heavens. God touched the oceans and rivers and ponds, and swimming beings made waves in the water, and God reached to the sky, and things with wings took flight. And God looked upon all of this and said, "This is good." And when everything was done, God took clay and formed an image of God's own self and breathed into it God's own breath and said, "You're the one I've been imagining. You and everything around you, my beloved creation, is good." But it wasn't good for long because God's people got caught up in the threats around us and forgot to find our way of being in this together. We lost track of what it means to live Hesed. So God reached inside God's own heart and pulled out justice and beauty and love and compassion and placed in a form that the people might come to recognize a holy human being named Jesus. And God set Jesus on earth to remind us of all that God has made us to be and to call us to love one another.
Did all he could to tell us how much God loves us and to show us how to love each other, but we couldn't accept that and we couldn't agree about it, and we became afraid. The principalities and powers lure the people of God to turn against the way made known in the life, ministry, and love of Jesus. And in the end, Jesus was given away by the very ones who thought they loved him best because the predator's power was just too much. But before he was taken, Jesus gathered his friends around a table and promised them and promises us that he'll never leave us alone, but will come back and take us home with him. And like those longest ago companions, we don't always understand the message Jesus brings to us or what is coming and going and coming again means for us. And we can be grateful and sing the mystery that is our faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen.
When Jesus gathered his friends together, he took the simple food that was their Passover meal, the bread and the wine, and he blessed them both and gave thanks to God and said, I'm sharing this meal with you now so that you can share it together whenever you gather to remember me.
Together, the words Jesus shared with his disciples and those around him long ago. We encourage you to name and address God in the language which is most dear and true to your heart. Let us pray. Our Mother,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this moment and over these gifts which are before us. Make these gifts the body and the love of Christ, and make us through them Christ's body alive in the world. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. All are welcome at the table of God's love, and when we say all, we mean everyone. If you are joining us online, now would be the time for you to bring close to you your bread and your juice, whatever you are using for communion this morning, from your site. For those of us here in the sanctuary, we will have three stations, two up front and one in the back. There you will find a platter with bread that has been baked for us, and in the center are crackers that don't have gluten, and in our cups is always grape juice. We encourage you to take your time, and there are places to pray all around the sanctuary, kneeling or standing. We listen for God's voice. Sometimes we also talk back to God, but it's okay to be in silence too. It's okay to stay right where you are in your pew. There really, every week, are people among us for whom this is something really new, and that's great. There are those among us for whom this is a life practice. Most of us fall somewhere in between, but what we want everyone to remember is you can't make a mistake. We are in God's divine dance together.
Friends, this is the bread of life in the body of Christ broken for you, and the cup of God's healing and forgiveness poured out for the whole world.
Thank you.
We encourage those praying with candles to stay and be in a spirit of prayer for just as long as you need or desire. Loving God, for the depth of the holy mystery, which is your revelation to the world in the simple and sacred act of breaking bread and sharing from a cup, the experience of communion, of common union, may we be made one once more and called into the world as expressions of your love, as witnesses to your hope in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, it is our hope that you will wonder about the next steps that God might be inviting you to take. Many of us take a step by sharing generously of our own resources to help our community align with God's love that is already on the loose and moving in the world. And you can do that here in the sanctuary or online, making generous gifts. We'll be closing soon our Easter offering. And so if you'd like to make a gift to that, we encourage you and invite you to do that, to share, as Bob and Becca named earlier, along with Derek, ways that our generosity allows this community to come forward in the ways that it is and to truly be in this together. So thank you for that. Today is our last day to make an order, a pre-order for Rise Up Bread. So if you would like to be able to pick up a loaf of bread, there's amazing different types of bread that you can choose online. We encourage you to go to the website today to place that order, and then tomorrow it allows you to set up, if you just want bread delivered one time, you can do that, or if you'd like it for each of the Sundays, you can find that online. And then next Sunday, we'll continue to move in the Easter season with a new worship series that we're calling In the Spirit. And so we'll be together here in this space and then out in Davis as well on May 19th. But we'll be moving in a new worship series starting this coming Sunday. I invite you to stand in body or spirit. Our musicians will send us out. This is You've Got to Move.
You gotta move. You gotta move.
Saying a little earlier, we live in the same world, walking different streets, but we want the same thing, love and hope and peace and freedom. So may we go forth from this place, walking and living and longing side by side. Go in peace.